Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Thursday, the 7th of October, lucky number 11. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Mr. Luke Moore. And Luke, you are looking resplendent with your lovely, freshly cut hair. You have a surprising amount of haircuts, I think.
My hair grows very fast.
Very tidy hair.
If I had to choose what on my body grows the fastest, it would be my double chin, followed by my hair.
My hair. Maybe you could kind of just grow like a circular under chin beard that starts from your hair, like one big dreadlock that goes underneath your chin.
And a chin strap.
Keeps it all in. Yeah, like a chin strap. Keeps it all in check.
I started to book my next haircut when I get my haircut, if that makes sense. So I haven't got to worry about it. And I bang it straight into the calendar while I'm there, and then it just
Who's
pops up in my calendar and
that?
I just go there. Yeah, it's easy.
Who is worrying about that? Just go and walk in and go, can I have an haircut? Where do you go for your
haircuts? The problem is, I go to a place in West Norwood, which annoyingly now has become really fashionable, and you can't fucking get a haircut now. you have to wait weeks. And my hair grows so fast.
Salt Bay's hair emporium.
Yeah. So I end up going to get my hair cut by Salt Bay, and he he sprinkles all the hair
dry shampoo.
Mousse. Off his elbow, yeah, off his elbow, onto my hair. And then every time he cuts around the back, he goes, wow, in my ear. And he's so short that he can't even reach the top bit. So that's just like thatched
it's like your
roof of hair. I appreciate you saying that. I've had my hair cut fairly recently. I normally get it cut every 10 to 12 weeks. I can remember, and Pete, this might have been in your time as well, at Capital Radio. The Capital Radio building in Leicester Square had a load of different stations in it. I'm sure it still does. They're probably called completely different things now. But one day I was there and Jay-Z was there, right?
Right.
Jay-Z was in there visiting Choice, I think, which was the hip-hop and R&B station then. I don't know what it's called now. Anyway, Capital Extra, I think it's called now. Whatever.
Capital Extra.
Jay-Z was there and I was leaving the same time Jay-Z and all these people were leaving. And I noticed that he had a hairdresser with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand. I mean, he's Jay-Z, though, isn't he? Like,
I quite like that. I quite liked
it. Yeah, so it was like, is it hair and makeup or just hair?
I think, no, he was like a traditional-looking barber with all the stuff in the bag. And I've also heard...
Towel over the arm.
Yeah. I've also heard... No, the reason I knew he was a hairdresser is he kept asking Jay-Z where he's going on his holidays.
Yeah, something for the weekend. So, and he had a big jar of Barbicide he was spilling everywhere.
Yeah, like in a pint glass.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that, I haven't witnessed this one firsthand, but I think I've seen it on telly and I've heard certainly a number of people say that back in the day, Floyd Money Mayweather used to do the same.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going for. It's a natural progression. At the moment, I'm on every 10 weeks. As I get richer and richer and more successful, I'm going to keep getting it done quicker and quicker and quicker till I get to the point where I don't leave the house without a hairdresser with me.
Yeah, I think you got to remember a lot of like rappers and stuff, they have, and boxing professionals, they have a lot of, they have a massive entourage anyway. You may as well have some of that entourage actually having a fucking job to do instead of just hanging around, surely.
Yeah, can I also say that this is quite a good story. I don't know if I can say it, but you might have to bleep out the name. Maybe it'd be fine.
Maybe it'd be fine.
Yeah, when I once worked at a record label, there was talk of big swinging cuts to budgets, right?
Mm.
And I was sat in a meeting where they were talking about how they had to cut back on different budgets. And it was lots of different things. Like, you know, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that. A few people are going to have to re-interview a few for their jobs, all that kind of stuff. You know, you get the impression that, like, big companies, at any one moment, some department are re-interviewing for their jobs because they're endlessly streamlining, right? That's what it feels like to me. It's certainly been the case in a lot of places I've worked. I was at this record label, a big label, owned by a big company. It was a major label. And there was having this one of these meetings. And what broke out was one of the most bizarre conversations I've ever been party to. I wasn't in the conversation because I was a lowly marketing assistant or coordinator or something, but I was in the room. I was also in the room when with about eight other people as the lowliest person there, tea maker, when there was an intimate listening session of the second Scissor Sisters album with the whole of the Scissor Sisters and about four or five people at the record label.
I remember you saying, was Baby Daddy there? Was Animatronic?
They're all there. Jake Shears, I told you, he's one of the most handsome-looking blokes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It was a very intense
experience with Jake Shears.
Yeah. Anyway, that's another story. I've probably told that one before. This was the same company, so I'm sure people who give a shit can probably find out which one it was. So I was sat there, and they talked about this, and someone said to someone else, well, I mean, someone's going to have to tell Busta Rhymes about his entourage. And the other guy was like, what? He's like, yeah, I mean, he's always bringing loads of people over whenever he comes. We just have to tell him we can't pay for that anymore. And they both really didn't want to tell Busta Rhymes that he couldn't bring all these people with him. And I wish in some ways I was there on the follow-up conversation when one of them rang him or something and said, if you want to come over with all these people next time, you're going to have to pay for them yourself. But I wasn't sadly part of that bit. But that was the major concern for a handful of people in the room about Busta Rhymes' entourage. So these things are, all I'm saying is, these things are talked about in the real world. They have real world ramifications for some people's budget lines.
I think that, I mean, I'm not going to bleep that because at the end of the day, you signed the NDA, not us.
I don't think they gave a shit back then.
No, I guess not, no. But I bet Busta Rhymes, though, he's got quite a hoarse voice at the best of times. He always sounds like he's either currently shouting or he's been shouting. He'd been to football or something.
Yeah,
he always sounds quite gruff. So I don't know whether you'd know whether that man was upset or not.
Well, that's true. I mean, I guess maybe he comes across as always being upset. It was, I mean, without being too kind of name-dropping about it, and I'll try and keep it brief, it was a really bizarre job because I mean, people who haven't worked in that kind of line of work who are listening, I cannot stress this enough. And we got used to it a bit at Capital Radio, where I was before, because it happened there as well. I would be sat at my desk, right, typing away, in the open plan bit of the office, and the important people had offices all round the border, right? So they had their own little office with glass fronts. And I honestly remember sitting there, tapping away on my keyboard, usual shit, looked up because I was vaguely aware of someone standing outside the office next to my desk, and it was fucking Lenny Kravitz.
Right, yeah.
It's just weird that kind of stuff happens. It happened, the Black Eyed Peas were in at one point, just knocking about. I had a desk next to singer-songwriter James Morrison. Less impressive, but even so. And it was quite a weird thing to get used to.
I think there's two parts of that. So, like, you at the radio, you've got all those stories about Lenny Kravitz and stuff. I remember at XFM, Hard-Fi, all three of them, using the same computer to Google some stuff, which I thought was a humorous image. But also, like, I guess on the record company level, you talk about acts as entities rather than people. So the very idea that you would have to explain to Busta Rhymes that he had to tidy up his entourage a little bit is weird, because you usually talk to him as a commodity. You usually talk to him as a commodity, as an entity, rather than the man who has a lot of friends who come over on business class flights.
I'm not going to say who this was because this is probably a bit unfair, but I remember being in a meeting as well where they were talking about how what would be really great for the promotion of a new album by this particular artist would be for them to write a newspaper article about some kind of issue. And they were sitting there around saying, well, we can't fucking do that because the guy can't even write a sentence. I mean, I'll have to write it myself and he'd have to put his name to it, and that'll take me ages. And it was quite weird because you're used to seeing them as like legends. and you find some kind of trivia about them, which is quite negative or quite kind of, you know, weird or whatever it may be. And it's a bit strange. I remember at Capital Radio, we also squeezing into a lift with the entirety of Motley Crue.
Oh, man. I think they might not smell nice. Mind you, they're quite LA, aren't they? So they probably smelt of nice massage oils.
My first feeling, and I still remember this now, was, oh, there's a lot going on in here. There's a lot going on. None of them are carrying anything, but there's a lot going on. I feel really claustrophobic, even though I've been in this lift with this amount of people before and it's been fine. With these guys, it feels quite claustrophobic. It was obviously weird. Anyway.
Pete,
that's enough of that. I'm just making a note of all this stuff to see which stuff we can say and which stuff we can't.
I think that's all right. It's fine.
Pete, speaking of things that are probably fine and we can talk about them, have you checked your own name? Have you done a name search check for you in the Pandora papers?
I haven't. Because
you're one
of the
100 billionaires.
There's just a lot of terabytes of data to download, to be honest. I've got a very limited broadband connection. It's going to take me all day to download, and then I'm going to have to search all of the Peter Donaldsons to see if I'm named, unfortunately. I'm genuinely worried that some of my offshore investments are going to be uncovered, to be quite frank.
I think the real news story is being missed here. I think if you are a billionaire, you are paying for a level of service, and you've been let down there.
With all the will in the world,
you are well within your rights to ask for a refund on that service.
Oh, massively. And what I like about these, is it the Pandora Papers this time? So the Panama Papers, then there's one in the middle, and there's
the Paradise was the one in the middle.
Yes, Paradise. So a lot of the Pandora Papers are just people going, yeah, we're going to leave this service. Why? Because of the first set of Panama Papers.
That
conversation is in that fucking email. So it's hilarious. Oh, brilliant. I feel
very sorry for the Caribbean nation of Bermuda. They weren't named the Bermuda Papers. They get none of the press because it doesn't begin with a P. So they changed it to Paradise Papers.
That is true. But I just worry about my investments. I recently bought a rice cooker because coming off a holiday, you always sort of look down at your stomach, your tanned, sunburnt stomach, and you sort of say, that doesn't necessarily need to be there, does it? And you think, I'm going to go on a bit of a diet. I'm going to eat rice instead of potatoes, which presumably might be just a little bit better for me. But I bought a rice cooker. I'm currently looking on Facebook Marketplace in Benfleet in Canvey Island. There's a set of bagpipes for sale for £500. There's a bongo drum for £25. And also a very old coin.
This is the Pete Papers.
This really is. I mean, there's just so much stuff here. A bosun's head. A sort of reproduction of a bosun smiling head from 1988. They want £30 for that. Some wonderful, wonderful, aspirational price points for,
Jules
a lot
Breach,
of shit.
Our friend and colleague Jules Breach, she absolutely swears by the rice cooker. She says the first thing she buys when she moves to a new house is a rice cooker.
You just have it bubbling away, making rice every day.
I don't think I've ever even seen one.
You've got to get a good one. You can't just buy like a cheap $10 one and just expect it to keep your rice in fine fettle all day. I just want one that you stick on in the morning and you've got rice for the rest of the day. Tip it out in the evening, more rice in the morning.
Is that how it works?
Lovely. Yeah, it just keeps it warm and it keeps it kind of fluffy and light and proper like Japanese rice cooked rice is just fucking
at the risk of alienating and even offending the rice enthusiasts among our listenership. The only rice I ever really eat is just the stuff you get in the microwave that you can do for 2 minutes and it's always bang on.
No, it is always bang on. They do some wonderful work. Similar principle, I suppose, just a box of steam, really, isn't it? The rice is a little bit soggy. You heat it up and it basically just steams the rice, doesn't it, I suppose?
I can't remember the last time I cooked rice in a pan because I just feel like the effort to reward ratio is kind of skewed.
Only because it's just the proportions, isn't it? Like the cup to rice thing is just quite confusing. You still have to do a little bit of that with the rice cooker, but it does it perfectly. And it tests the moisture in the pan and it's like this slow cooker thing. And you can make, if you like congee, you know, that sort of rice porridge you can make where you just heat it and heat it and heat it until it's like this kind of ricey porridge. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. You can make that in a rice cooker. Oh, mate, I'm really looking forward to this rice cooker.
Do you know what you just reminded me of? You've reminded me of the fact that... So I think even when I've cooked rice that's not been microwaved, I've done it in one of those bags in the water in the pan.
Right, yeah, okay, that's fair. Okay, yeah.
So I mean, I'm not really an expert in any way, shape or form, and maybe I just need... Look, the beauty of this is you're never going to be busted in some kind of Pandora Papers expose, because your stuff's all out there. Your darkest secrets are already out there, mate, you know?
Well, tax deductible, mate, because I mentioned it on here.
Exactly. All right, Donaldson, look, before we go to a break, I do want to say, because I mentioned on Monday that I watched a couple of movies. I watched The Many Saints of Newark.
Now, what is the... Oh, is that the Tony Soprano thing?
The Sopranos prequel, yes.
Yes, okay. Any good?
I only found out that... someone mentioned it to me. I never really considered it. Do you know the reason it's called that title?
Why is it called that title?
Have you seen The Sopranos?
Yes.
So, you know... So, basically, Christopher Moltisanti is one of the main characters in the Sopranos, right? And The Many Saints of Newark is a prequel to The Sopranos, and it's basically the story of the Moltisanti family, right?
Right.
Moltisanti in Italian means many saints.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. And an absolute mind-blowing fact, Donaldson, that you are going to absolutely love. Do you know who plays the main character in The Many Saints of Newark?
Is it Tony Soprano's son?
No, it isn't.
What? Oh. Oh, right, okay. Is it James Gandolfini's son then?
No, he's not the main part in it, mate.
The main part in it is
Dickie Moltisanti, played by only the bastard guy from Goal. Alessandro Nivola, the guy who plays bloody Gavin Harris in Goal.
Gavin Harris in Goal. That's sweet. Because he eked out a little bit of a career, didn't he, old Gavin Harris? Or
well, he's just got a fucking bigger one now. My goodness me. He's really good in it as well.
Does he play a proper naughty footballer?
Yeah.
Who talks like this?
I didn't even know it was him until someone mentioned it afterwards. I didn't make the connection. But I also...
Oh, that's smashing.
I thought it was a brilliant movie. If you enjoy The Sopranos, which I presume you do, if you've seen it, you should enjoy it. If you don't, please turn the show off and never listen to it ever again. It's a great prequel to that. The end was brilliant. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but the final act of that movie was bloody excellent. I really, really enjoyed it.
Does he say, you fuck? Oh, that's all I remember from The Sopranos. He was just saying, you fuck all the time.
You've watched The US Office 6 times through and you can't remember anything about The Sopranos.
Yeah, I'm on my 7th, Luke. We started it again. It's an illness, but it's a little comfort pillow. If indeed that is a thing, that just gets you ready for sleep. You watch 20-minute Office, you're out like a light. Love it. But yeah, we're starting it again. I mean, it's my 7th run through. That's obscene. Couldn't tell you a thing about it because you know what my memory's like.
Speaking of that, yeah, it's like watching something for the first time every time.
Right.
Speaking of that, have you started watching Squid Game yet?
I haven't, no. It's one of those ones where we don't have enough time to watch television together, me and the partner I've access to. And so I have even less time to watch stuff by myself. And it's just, Sarah saw the trailer and went, not for me.
the wife I have access to and me are really enjoying it. We're watching it together. It's brilliant. I genuinely think it's really good. I always get quite cynical about, it's the most watched show on Netflix. Everyone loves it. It's brilliant, whatever. Because part of me just gets cynical and thinks, oh, yeah, but they're just saying that. I'm fine.
It's always good, though, isn't it? It's never terrible. It's always fucking good.
Honestly, it's the latest in a long line of things from Netflix that I've really enjoyed. I don't know how it's going to end. I'm about 5 episodes in. Don't spoil me if you're listening to this now. I probably won't have finished it by the time this show comes out. But it is very, very good. If you're thinking about watching it, but you haven't partaken yet, the nights are drawing in, it's getting colder, presumably if you're in the northern hemisphere, so get stuck in, it's well worth it.
Is it a spoiler to explain why it's called Squid Game?
No, because I think that makes it very clear in the very opening montage of the first episode.
Right, okay. Why is it called Squid Game then?
Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you were going to tell me. I think because it's based around games that children, as far as I know, I mean, I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but based about games that children played in South Korea as kids, and in the actual show, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that they That's what they do in the show, in the game. So
there's one game that's very much like the British. What time is it, Mr. Wolf?
Yes, exactly.
They call it something different.
They call it red light, green light. Yeah.
I loved What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf, Luke. I think that's one of my dinner favorite
time.
Games. It's just the excitement, the freedom the games master has to influence the game. The sheer panic, the rolled ankles, the screams, the Ferrari. Yeah. I love What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf? Because yeah. It's the inevitability that it will end at some point and it will be dinner time.
What happens at the end in the game? So I don't mean in the show, but in What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf, when you played it as a kid, if you made it to Mr. Wolf, what happened?
You know what? I'm not sure. Because nobody ever did, because you'd know if someone was behind you, wouldn't you?
I don't actually know.
Is it like, how did, if someone knows how, What Time Is It, Mr. Wolf ended, or any weird deviations that you played, do let us know. Hello at lukeandpeachshow.com.
All right, on that note, let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll do some battery brands, as is the tradition, and we'll clear up this week's emails as well, because there's a few more left to go. So stick around, and we'll see you in a minute.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. Wrapping up a little bit of admin. We can't talk about my holiday next week. Luke, have you ever read a James Patterson book?
I haven't, no. I don't think there's enough time in the day, is there?
Very, very, very popular. 600 million fortune. He seems to write a book every 5 minutes. There was a grubby little paperback in the pool library as I was relaxing, and I sort of leafed through it, read the whole thing. What a piece of shit! Anyway, you just assume that people writing fiction are good because it's been published. Because there's so many people who write stuff and they have to self-publish or they can't get a publisher.
Yeah.
But this guy, if that's some of his better work, or indeed even some of his worst work, that is astonishingly bad stuff, Luke. Well, just bad. Like, it was written by Alan Partridge. It's incredible.
You and I differ on this, though, because I'm kind of just generally in favour of anyone who doesn't read should be reading, right?
Right.
It's an amazing thing. It gives you a lot of skills, lot, some tangible, some intangible. I mean, without being too earnest and all this kind of stuff, there's nothing better to me than it. And I like it. So even when people read like Dan Brown books, I'm not one of these people who kind of, you know, roll their eyes on the tube and go, what the fuck are you reading that
no.
for? I'm like, great, good for you. The only thing I know about James Patterson, there's two things I know. One is that he wrote Kiss the Girls, which was adapted into that Morgan Freeman film, which I vaguely remember being okay, but I can't remember too much about it. He's like a thriller writer, right?
Yeah, and he writes a lot with other people. He writes with, like, police detectives.
He's like in his 70s now, right?
Yeah, well, he just wrote a book with Bill Clinton, I think, not that long ago, which is about the president being kidnapped or something. And I'm just astonished.
Yeah, but if you look at James Patterson's bibliography, right? He's probably going
to extensive.
He's probably going to have written over 500 books, right?
But now, I think some of them were written by AI, because the one I read was possibly written by AI.
Logic and common sense would dictate that he's not going to have written all of those, because it's impossible, right?
It's impossible.
It's like when you see Ramesh Ranganathan on TV, right? I've got no problem with Ramesh. I don't know him. I'm sure he's great. And he's lovely. I'm sure he's a lovely fella. But if he's doing 10 shows at once, which he always seems to be doing, don't be surprised if at least a handful of them are shit, because he's not got the time to do them, right? Mm. He's just doing them. It's like a production line. It'll be the same with this. Yeah. The other fact I would say that I know about James Patterson, which I think is really actually a feather in his cap, is I'm pretty sure he funded, financed, and exec produced all that stuff, that documentary, for example, about Jeffrey Epstein, which eventually ended up with all the stuff that it ended up with, because I think he was a resident of the same town that Jeffrey Epstein lived in.
Right.
And so he was in the vanguard of bringing all that stuff to light and bringing him to justice, I think.
So So Patterson is very community and charitably minded. He set up so many foundations about... And I only read up on him because I was astonished about how weak-sourced the book was. I was just surprised, that's all. Look, if anyone's a big fan of Pat Pats, can you email in? Let me know what the best book is, and then I can read that and not be quite so astonished at where that's, you know, how weird that was.
I think you're right, because also weird. He was also really poor in those Twilight films. Let's go to emails. Hello at lucasbeach.com. Oh no, we've got to do batteries first. We've got to do batteries.
Yeah, batteries.
I've got a couple
batteries
for you. Are you in the position to be able to do the search, mate?
Yes, I think I.
You should be able to, because you just logged me out of the email, so you better be able to be.
I didn't, mate. I didn't.
Someone did.
Oh,
is there
trouble
a
at Mill.
Ghost in our house.
That's
you ready?
Nice. Yes.
Come on down, Dominic Bloxham. He sent in, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, and you might not even need to search. But young Dominic, hello to you, friend of the show now, because you've got in touch and got on the show. Our friend Dominic has sent in some Pear Deer batteries. Now, I'm pretty sure they're not.
Oh, mate.
Nah, old-fashioned. Get fucked, Dominic. Is that what you're saying?
Is Pear Deer one word or two words?
One word.
One word, isn't it? Some people have actually written them as two words. We've had those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like over 20 times. I'm
Dominic,
so sorry.
You should be thoroughly ashamed of yourself. Next up.
Sorry, Dominic.
Thomas Monk. Great name. Tommy Monk.
Monko.
He sent in some Warriors.
I think we may have had Warriors quite early on, you know. Warriors. Mm. Quite a lot of those. But Warriors quite a popular.
Yeah.
Paul Williams got in touch. Not sure if they've yet featured on the show. Yes, they have. Terracotta Warriors. That is The Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. I mean, probably not as many as Pear Deers, but enough. Enough.
Yeah, okay. And enough. Shout out to Luke, who sent in some Raymax. They're not new players. Shout out to At In Our Shadow, who sent in Nanfeng. They're not real new players either.
Striking out this week.
Yeah, it's not much new material coming in. So do keep sending your suggestions in. Mm. But sadly, so far, no new players this week. Maybe next week will be different. All right, let's do some emails. Peter, do you want to do one or do you want me to do one?
You stick one in the ear hole, please.
I want to do one because I think you'll like this one. This is from Ben. He says, hi, guys. This will be my third, maybe fourth submission, so maybe this one will make the cut. I was staying in a lodge in, I think that's pronounced Fifi in Thailand, when I awoke to the sound of banging on the window. I assumed it was the owner of the establishment and that I'd overslept, which was a regular occurrence on my trip. Imagine my surprise when I saw a gibbon outside the window holding one of my flip-flops. The gibbon continued to bang on the window until I got up to open the door, at which point he scarpered into the jungle with my flip-flop. Not only did he steal it, he just wanted me to know that he had seen it and stolen it. Absolute cretin, Ben. I thought you'd like that one, Peter.
Is it fair to say that that is so far up my street it's opened a corner shop? Because that is just something else.
Just want you to know.
I love that.
To be fair to him,
cunt, wake up. I've got this. See ya. Bye.
To be fair to him, I think the gibbon wanted to say, you are going to, if I don't do this, you're going to wake up, one of your flip-flops going to be missing and you'll just never know. And it's the closure. Exactly. You won't have the closure.
You would never. You just sort of worry that there's a lot of things that gibbons have stolen. That no, people didn't know it was a gibbon. They went absolutely astonished and surprised and enchanted by the very image of a gibbon running around with something that they owned. It would have been great, incredible. I would love to see it. I can't think of a single thing in this room or my house that I wouldn't be delighted by a gibbon stealing.
Yeah.
And I include money, wallets, phone, they can have it.
The gibbon community don't even operate a currency. So, I mean, they don't, nothing to do with the money. I mean, the thing that annoys me about this is the double standards, because if I get home to my house in West Norwood at 2 a.m. and wake up the wife I have access to because a gibbon's stolen my keys, no one believes me.
That is true, though. You do drink a lot of Varangi Boom, though, which is known to make people hallucinate.
Anyway, I don't think there's any better way to end the show this week than that. So thank you very much to everyone listening. Thank you particularly to Ben, whose name is Ben White, apparently. So I'm hoping
Snowboard,
it's the Arsenal centre-back who had a gibbon steal his flip-flops. I suspect not, though. Thank you if you have got in touch with us this week. But also thank you if you've listened. We much appreciate it. Do please tell your pals if you've enjoyed what you've heard and leave us a review, a 5-star review, wherever you get your pods. It does help the show immensely and enormously. We'll be back on Monday for more of this. Pete, it's been a pleasure. I take it there's been no reply on the walkie-talkie across the week since Monday.
Nothing. We live in hope. Maybe I'll try.
Seven,
Channel 7.
Yeah. We'll keep a watching brief on it.
I'll keep a watching brief.
All right, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much, and stay safe. Look after yourself and each other. And Pete, as I told you on Monday, take care.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.